Happy Monday, everybody. Pastor Steve here. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and also hope you were in church Sunday worshiping Jesus. If for any reason you were not, please visit our website and watch one of the live stream services from this past Sunday. Well, today in our Bible reading plan, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Luke. We are in chapter 5, and hopefully you've read it and written in your journal what God spoke to you and how you're going to respond to what he said. The devotional thought for me comes from verse 16 when it says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." That Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. When you read the Gospels, it becomes apparent Jesus had this regular routine, this regular habit, whatever you want to call it, of getting away from the crowds to be alone with the Father, to pray, for us to pray and to read Scripture. And the context to really help you understand how significant that verse is in this chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 5, the Bible says, Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing in around Jesus, so get that picture, this crowd is so large and so enthusiastic, they're pushing in to get as close to Jesus as they can. And also, if you'll look at verse 15, news about him, about Jesus, was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. And later, you have the story of the paralytic being brought to Jesus on a stretcher, and the crowd was so big and thick they could not make their way through the crowd to get to the room inside the house where Jesus was. And so they climbed on top of the house and basically removed the tiles, tore a hole in the roof, and let the man down in front of where Jesus was. And so those give you a picture of how busy Jesus was. Not just how big the crowds was, but the bigness of the crowds and all that they were wanting. Jesus was busy, and there were a lot of demands on him. And in human terms, like you and me, you could say there was pressure. And so it's in that setting, in the midst of all that, Jesus got away. And that he would do that often and find a secluded place to be alone with the Father. And I sometimes hear people say, I don't have time for a D group. I don't have time for Bible reading. I don't have time to journal what God speaks. I just don't have. When that is your life, you need to be alone with God even more than normal. In fact, I would say the busier you are, the more disciplined you need to be and the more aggressive you need to be at making time to be alone with God. Now, you may not always be able to make 30 minutes a day, but I'm going to tell you something. When you are so busy, you don't have time to be alone with God on a consistent basis. Over time, you are putting yourself at grave risk of spiritual lethargy, of backsliding, of sin, of losing your close connection to God, of becoming indifferent, of all kinds of risk. It's like in your marriage saying, well, we're really busy, and in 15 years when our kids reach this stage of life, then we can focus on each other again. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Tell me how your marriage is after 15 years of neglecting it. Well, how do you think your relationship with God is going to be if you spend weeks and months neglecting it because you're just too busy? And I hear you, but I am doing my best to sound the alarm. And, you know, if you're watching this or listening to the podcast, you're doing better than most. So don't quit. And maybe you take what I'm saying today as an encouragement to speak truth to others who need it. If Jesus made time to be alone with the Father, what makes any of us think we don't need to do the same thing? Now, that's the devotional thought. Real quickly, just one kind of teaching note. When they brought the paralytic to Jesus, the first thing Jesus said was, "Your sins are forgiven." He didn't heal him. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then the Pharisees and scribes got, you know, they got angry with Jesus for doing that. And then Jesus said, "So, well, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But so you can know that I have power or authority or the right to say your sins are forgiven, I say to this guy, get up and walk." And he got up and walked. What's all that about? Well, it was very common in Judaism of Jesus' day for people to think that if you were sick or had a physical ailment, it was directly related to a particular sin in your life. So if this man was paralyzed, it had to be because there was some sin he committed, and this was the punishment for that sin. Now, Jesus is not saying that they are right, but what Jesus is doing, because they were questioning whether or not he had the authority or the right to forgive sins. So in their mind, when Jesus healed that man and enabled him to walk, it shut them up by healing that man, because they thought that man was paralyzed because of his sin. And so when Jesus gave him the ability to walk, in their mind, in their theology, it would say, whoa, maybe he does have the right to forgive sins. He's not saying that all your sickness is because of a sin. Here, he was healing this man, not just out of compassion for that man, but to teach the critics that he did have the authority to forgive sin. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Hey, God bless you. I hope you enjoyed this, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow as we look at chapter 6.